Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
You're listening to Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly, and in this weekly segment, we speak to BBC journalists about the international stories they're tracking in the week ahead. Today, we welcome back senior journalist and presenter Rich Preston. Rich, lovely to have you with us again.
Good to be with you, Rachel. Thanks for having me.
So, first of all, Rich, you heard our news headlines that we're going to be that will be coming out at the 5:30 news, and we're going to be getting an update on some coronavirus lockdown measures out of the UK. Perhaps you can bring us up to speed on the COVID picture around the world, and then we can have a look at what's happening with you in the UK as well.
Sure. Well, let's start with India. It's the latest country that's causing real concern, Rachel. It's recorded its highest number yet of coronavirus infections in a single day. Most are in the western state of Maharashtra, the financial capital Mumbai, also seeing a sharp uptick in cases. So officials in the country blame a lack of compliance with measures like wearing masks and social distancing. Now, India, of course, one of the world's biggest vaccine producers, so it's churning out thousands and thousands of doses, but of course, a vast population, so it's a real struggle to get those shots in arms. Europe also continues to have issues with coronavirus. That's also partly been attributed to social attitudes towards lockdowns. Some countries have decided to go outside of the European Union's agreements with the likes of AstraZeneca and buy up their own Russian and Chinese vaccine supplies. On Saturday, one thing we're watching ahead to, European officials going to Russia to see if Russia's Sputnik V vaccine can be considered as part of Europe's official vaccine rollout. Specifically in the EU, France and Germany seeing their numbers rise. Ukraine is seeing record daily deaths from COVID-19. On the other hand, some countries are seeing their numbers drop. Portugal is one of them. It's been in strict lockdown for several months, and that starts to ease as of today. Children going back to school and some small shops, as well as museums and galleries opening up to the public. Denmark, also hairdressers and tattoo parlors reopening, but visitors need to show proof of either having been vaccinated or testing negative for the virus.
And Rich, you mentioned those vaccine discussions in Europe. How are various vaccine rollouts going?
Well, the British government is very proud of its vaccine rollout. More than 33 million people vaccinated here, mostly with the Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine. That's the one I had. On Wednesday, France and Sweden are going to start bottling vaccines in their own countries. Now, they're not making them there. What is happening is it's called finish and fill, so that the bulk of the doses made where the factories are kind of based, but the plants in France and Sweden are going to be finishing them up, putting them in the bottles and sending them out. In France, it's the Pfizer vaccine, and in Sweden, it's the Moderna shot, and it's hoped that doing this part of the process locally will help speed up the rollout and get them out to more people.
We're speaking with Rich Preston, senior journalist and presenter at the BBC. Rich, in other news, in Russia, various major tech giants are in court. We're talking about Twitter, Facebook, Google. What's going on?
Yeah, well, on the surface, Rachel, they're accused of refusing to delete posts, which the Russian government says encouraged people to participate in illegal protests. But as you'd imagine, there's much more to it than that. These were no ordinary protests. These were protests in support of the opposition activist Alexei Navalny. Russian authorities say that the tech companies, these posts in particular, encouraged children to get involved in demonstrations. Of course, this is seen as part of a wider move by Russian authorities to control information. Twitter, Facebook, Google, Telegram, TikTok, as you said, are all in the dock. Hearings are actually started last week, but they continue this week.
So what law did the tech companies allegedly break then, Rich, and what does this represent?
Well, I spoke to one of my colleagues in BBC Monitoring about this. That's part of the BBC that watches foreign media. And they told me, rest assured, Russia has a law for everything. In this case, it's Russia's Code of Administrative Offences. In particular, Russian authorities told the social media companies to take down these posts to limit access to this information, and the companies refused. So these posts encouraging children to get involved in these unauthorised protests, they stayed up. Now, social media is the last part of the media landscape in Russia that the authorities do not control, and these pro-Navalny protests have really kind of brought that home to the government. So after trying and failing to ban social media platforms, it looks like the Kremlin wants to fine them into submission. On Friday, Twitter was fined 6.5 million rubles, that's nearly $90,000.
Now, finally, Rich, on Sunday, it does seem like much of the world is going to the polls. What's happening?
Yeah, for some reason, April the 11th, this Sunday, seems to be voting day for nearly 100 million people around the world. That's the equivalent of a third of the population of the US. Elections are being held in Chad, Benin, Ecuador, and Peru. Now, let's look at those two African countries first. Mm-hmm. In Chad, the president there is seeking his sixth term in office. Now, what actually happened was in 2005, he oversaw the removal of a president's term limit and then reinstated term limits back in 2018, but without the ability to apply them retrospectively. So he's kind of switching this feature on and off as he sees fit. That's what his opponents would say. He's been in power since 1990. If he wins this election, he will be in office until 2027. But because he's reimposed term limits without retrospectively activating them, he could then run again and be in office until 2033, when he's well into his 80s. Now, Chad is ranked 160 out of 180 on the Global Corruption Index. Singapore is number 3, just by way of comparison. These elections largely ceremonial. There's no real opposition in the country. Meanwhile, in Benin, President Patrice Talon seeking his second term in office. But again, outside observers worry that that country is falling under increasingly authoritarian rule as well.
And what about those two major Latin American countries then, Rich, Ecuador and Peru?
Well, in Ecuador, it's the second round of voting. The left-wing candidate, Andrés Arauz, got 32% of the vote in the first round, but it's unclear who he'll face in the next round. And this is the interesting part, because the indigenous leader, Yaku Pérez, is doing exceptionally well. That's a bit of a nail-biter in the country, because indigenous candidates don't historically do well in Ecuador's politics. Meanwhile, over the border in Peru, the successor to the current interim president, Peru's had a big problem with coronavirus, been hit hard by the pandemic. So whoever wins in Peru's election really has to tackle that head on.
Well, Rich, thank you so much for sharing all of those updates with us.
Great to be with you, Rachel.
Thank you. We've been speaking with Rich Preston, senior journalist and presenter at the BBC, right here on Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.